I would spend hours of research every day looking into what format, what should a podcast be like. And I listened to a lot of podcasts as well. So I had an idea of what to expect and what to do a little bit. It was just a decision. I'm going to do this. The sooner I get it out there, the better, especially if you're going to record and publish it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcaster. It's your host, Adam Adams. We are recording this at a new year, and I'm excited to have Derek Van Auten on the podcast. He's got a podcast. It's called Peak Signing Agents. And what basically he has done is, if you've ever needed something called a notary, you basically got to get something signed by someone special. They have to check your ID, make sure you're the right person who signed it, and they even put their stamp of approval. He focuses on helping people do that, and his podcast, Peak Signing Agents, supports people to educate them so that they could make money that way as well. And what's kind of cool is it's virtual. So you're able to do this with people that aren't even in your city or your state. And so he's got a team that kind of helps people do that. And his podcast link, Peak Signing Agents, the link is down in the show notes, as well as his bio. And if you want to check out any of the social he wanted you to have or his own website, all of those things are down in the show notes. If you want to connect with him, that's where you could do it. Derek, how are you today?
Unbelievable, Adam. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's nice to have you. I want to hear your journey about your podcast. And let's start with some people, they start a podcast the day that they decided that they wanted one. Most of the people probably take a year or two. And I'm just curious, when did you decide to do a podcast? How long did it take you to launch? And what was that process like for you?
Well, funny enough, this is actually my only podcast that I'm doing now, but I actually was doing four podcasts at one time. And when I first got into podcasting, it was an episode of Gary Vaynerchuk's podcast that kind of planted the seed originally, where you were just like, hey, just kind of put it out there, get yourself out there. And so that's what I did. I started interviewing local business owners around my area, and it kind of evolved, started doing some other podcasts as well. When I started doing my notary service and I started hiring other notaries outside of my state, I just noticed so many errors were coming back to my clients. And I thought, how can I educate so many people at once? I didn't have the time and energy to do each one individually, because sometimes I'd be hiring 5, 6, 7 notaries in one day. And I thought, I can't train every single person. How can I get information out there? And I thought, well, what do I know? I know how to podcast. So let me go back to that. Let me start podcasting to get the information and training out there every week.
Yeah. Good stuff. And how is it working for you right now?
It's definitely has gotten me a lot more popular in the notary community. A lot of people every week, I'm getting new subscribers to the YouTube channel, more listens to the podcast. So it's definitely helped me out. I started getting sponsorships that I can put, add notes in and add commercials into the podcast as well to get people to use my affiliate links. So that's been very helpful also.
So there's a lot that you mentioned. And one of the things that I want to start with is you said that you have a YouTube channel that you're getting subscribers every week, and you've also got the audio version of the podcast.
Yeah.
I think the listener might be curious about is, why do you have both? And if you only could focus on the YouTube or on the audio version of the podcast, which one would you focus on?
Oh, that is a great question. The reason why I do both is it just gets me more exposure. It just gets my podcast out to more people, because some people are more visual and then some people are more on the go, so they can just more easily listen to it. So I just figured the more platforms I'm on, the better. I try to get on as many different podcast platforms as well, even if it hardly gets any listens. Hey, one or two is better than zero, if that helps somebody. And if I had to choose one, oh boy, that is tough. I would say I probably get more comments from YouTube, so I might go there, but I get more monetization from podcast platforms. So that is a tough one to make a final decision on, I guess.
Okay. So with the monetization, how does that look? And if I'm a listener who's a podcaster, could I implement to do similar to what you have going on, so I could actually have my podcast put money into my pocket instead of taking it out?
Sure, right. That'd be a great goal, you know, to monetize the podcast. And so I was using Spotify and they had their criteria. If you hit certain amount of listens and then they'll send you a payment. And it starts off small, Obviously, the more listens you get, the better. And so what's nice about Spotify, they actually do that for you already. It's already set in place. And then they can give you commercial ads that you can also input. You can input as many commercial ads as you would like into your podcast. And they'll find those commercials for you. And you can read a script or you can just kind of do it yourself, kind of just speak without talking like a robot reading a script. So that's what's really nice too. And then I use affiliate links. So I have sponsorships where people, because we are a notary type of podcast, I have notary type of sponsorship. So training courses, electronic journals, notary journals. So those are part of my affiliate links and sponsorships.
That's pretty cool. And one other question that I don't know if I heard is from the time that somebody told you you should have a podcast, whether it was yourself from the four that you had had or before that, or if a friend told you that, hey, you really got to be in a podcast, from the time that you ever started your first one, how long did it take you and what kind of got you over the edge?
How long it took me? So it probably took me probably a few weeks to just kind of think about it. What would I be talking about? What would be the topics? What would be the subjects? What would be the format that I would be doing it? So I thought about for a few weeks to research what kind of microphone should I get? What kind of headphones? What type of equipment do I need? Do I need a soundboard? What do I need? And just doing research like that, again, probably just took a few weeks to kind of do it. And I just said, let's just get started. I asked my wife to be on my first episode with me when we had a guest, just so I had someone there as well. And I thought, do I want a co-anchor with me or do I want to just do it by myself? So she joined me on my first one. She didn't input a lot. So I thought, okay, maybe I can just do this on my own. And yeah, so it probably took a few weeks. And I just knew I just had to get out there and do it. I just knew. And I also knew this. I knew that I would not be great in the beginning. I knew that. I knew it'd be weird to hear my voice. And I just knew that would happen. And I just knew that I just had to keep doing it, though, because I would go from not that good to decent to good to great. I just knew it would be a process.
Yeah.
And I knew the first episodes might not be that great, but I knew I had to put it out there anyway. I knew I had to start.
Derek, it sounded like you said it only took you a few weeks from the day that you decided that you wanted a podcast to the day that you published your first episode.
Yeah.
Go into more detail on that, because for a lot of people, it takes a year or two or three. They've been thinking, I should have one. I want to have one. My coach told me to have one. But that process that took you just a couple of weeks takes them a couple of years.
Yeah, I hear that too. A lot of people reach out to me as well, asking me for tips and advice on how to do it. And then a year goes by and they ask me again, hey, can I ask you for a few more questions? I'm thinking, oh, you haven't started yet? And for me, I wanted to get the information out there. So I think maybe as part of it's just me, once I sink my teeth into something, I really want to sink it in deep and kind of do the research and follow through with it. So I don't like to overthink a lot of times. I think overthinking is just another form of procrastination. It's just my opinion. And so I just knew if I'm going to do this, I'm going to sink my teeth into it, do the research. And I would spend hours of research every day looking into what format, what should a podcast be like. And I listened to a lot of podcasts as well. So I listened to a lot of podcasts. Like that's all I listened to is podcasts. So I had an idea of what to expect and what to do a little bit. And so I think for me, it was just a decision. I'm going to do this. The sooner the better was kind of my thought process, was the sooner I get it out there, the better. Especially if you're going to record and publish it, it takes a while to do your first episode. You're connecting the RSS feeds to get out on all the platforms. And so I didn't realize how much work that took also. So even when I got my first episode published, it wasn't publishing everywhere. I had to go through and get everything synced in, and it just took a lot more time than I thought. Actually, even when I did decide to record, it was just a mentality thing. I just knew I had to get the information out there. I wanted to get the information out there. So I just wanted to do it. I was actually excited about doing it.
I think I heard you say that you just knew that you needed to do this. And one of the mistakes that you said you may have made was not having it published everywhere. I'm curious if we could spend a little bit more time on that. If we have a listener who's launching their own podcast or they just started, and you've gone through some of the issues. You've done 85 episodes now. And as you were starting your podcast, you moved quickly. So can we identify a few issues that you may have run into that you might be able to support a listener who's about to start so that they avoid them?
Sure. So at the time that I was doing it, it was Anchor, now Spotify for podcasters. And one of the big, I don't want to say gimmick, but one of the big points for them was that they would help you get it out on all the platforms. And it was very common platforms, but it was not going automatically on, for example, iHeartRadio and Amazon or Audible. It wasn't automatically going on those platforms. And so I had to research, like Google each one individually and say, how do I take my RSS feed and then input that, tie it in to iHeartRadio, Audible, or Amazon. They can kind of go back and forth. I guess they're interchangeable now. And I had to Google each one of those and then go into my RSS feed and then plug it in. So I had to set up an account with iHeartRadio. I had to set up an account with Audible, set up an account with those, then plug in my RSS feed there. That way, when I record, it was now publishing there. So it didn't do it automatically. I had to go manually and do those two.
Okay. I've had a couple of clients that used Anchor/Spotify. Uh-huh. And even very recently, like a couple of weeks ago, is I had a bunch of, well, there's issues with Spotify and Anchor. They had like some bubble. And what had happened is now they don't recognize all the downloads that people are getting. So they're really mainly only recognizing the ones that they get from Spotify and Anchor. So that's one reason we ask our clients not to be working with Spotify and Anchor. It is free, but at the same time, sometimes you get what you pay for. And I'm curious to go through this with you, Derek. The other issues that we had on Spotify is that you could only be on up to 8 platforms on there. But like, for example, if you publish through Buzzsprout, you could be on 18 different platforms. So you get that exposure of more than double the amount of different platforms that people could find you. And I'm curious, Derek, did you stay with Spotify after having these problems or did you try to make Spotify work?
So I did stay with that. I tried to make it work. What I was doing is I was constantly looking at before they did that merge of where are people listening? And I saw it was a lot of the same 3 or 4 platforms. It was Spotify. It was Apple. It was Google. And so those were like the 3 that I always saw that were my audience were listening at. So when they did transition, I stayed with them because it still sank into the same group or demographic that were already listening to it. But one thing I did like was that they started doing the Spotify videos. And that's one thing I liked, so that I can just record on my camera and use that same video clip, upload it to YouTube, and then upload it to Spotify. And on Spotify, they can watch the video or it would strip the audio and just publish it on other platforms.
Yeah, cool. And so how many platforms have you been able to find yourself on Spotify? Or if you don't know the numbers, no, that's fine. Do you know if you're on 8 or some other number?
I'm on, I think it was like 4 or 5 last time I looked.
Got it. Yeah. Cool. Let me see. I have a few things that I want to ask you actually, and I'm trying to put them in order. We've talked about your perfect avatar. I want to understand that avatar for a second and understand how you've decided to serve that person on your podcast. You mentioned that it started because a lot of people that were notary, that they were kind of making mistakes. And so you wanted to be able to have good value for those people. I want to understand, like, and maybe have the listener understand what the end goal is with the podcast, other than just education, because sometimes it needs to either put money in your pocket or build the business to be sustainable. Sometimes it needs to be more than just giving back. So I'm curious how you think through that.
You're absolutely right. Right now, it is at a point of giving back. I want to educate the notary community. I want them, and it is partially already a little bit on the selfish side of like, hey, I might hire this notary in the future who's listening right now. I don't even know who they are. They're listening right now. And they're getting value from it. And then hopefully one day I will hire them and they'll do a great job for me and my client. So part of it already is partially selfish where I'm educating them because I want them to do a good job if I hire them. But at the same time, I might not ever hire this person. And so I am relying on my affiliate links. Like, hey, if you want a really good in-depth training course, use my affiliate link. And I don't plug in a lot of advertisements, but I think in the future will lead to me plugging in more advertisements for my sponsors and just relying on the affiliate links. And at the end, like, hey, please share it. please share. So that way you get more listeners. That way you can get monetized more from the platform.
Do you do guests on your podcast? Is it just solo or is it a combination of both?
It's mostly me, but I have started introducing guests now. So I've done a few in the past, but I am starting to roll with, I have such a great network of notaries and successful notaries that I am plugging them in as well. You know, their benefit also is, hey, I'm sharing information because I might hire somebody in the future that will do a good job for me as well.
Okay, cool. How do you find your guests?
They're actually friends of mine. From going to different, believe it or not, we have notary conferences. Cool. You know, there's conference for everything. So I have a lot of notary friends that I meet at conferences. We're on group messages with each other as well. Like we try to help each other out. Like, hey, this is a good notary, use them. Hey, this is not such a great notary, you might not want to use them. So we communicate, and now I'm asking them, hey, please be a guest on my podcast. And they're listening to my podcast as well.
I want to find out some tools that you might use for your podcast that could be helpful for the listener, and also just your best advice. But we'll be right back after a quick message, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show.
We're back with Derek Van Otten, and we're talking about his podcast for Notary and talking about how he uses it for his business, what his goal is with it. And we talked about a couple of his challenges so far and how he overcame them. And now I'm curious if there's any hacks or automation tools, for example, that you've figured out in your podcast to make it easier on you to publish.
Yeah, part of my shtick for my podcast is I actually have a mobile office van, and I'm very well known in the notary community for that. And so because of that, I actually record in it because it has a table and has Wi-Fi and everything in there. And because I'm on the move a lot, I'm on the go. Sometimes I'll just pull over and record an episode on the side of the road or at a park, for example. So one thing to minimize equipment that I've used is in my van, I have a microphone, and then I just have an old iPhone that I don't use. And that's what I use to record. So I just record video with a microphone. And like I said, I'll upload it to my platform and it'll just strip the audio if that's what the platform uses, just audio. And I don't do any editing. So I just hit record, smile, start my introduction. Shout out to you, Adam. You gave me a great way to do my introductions every time. So I really appreciate that. Shout out to you. And then when I'm done, I hit stop and I just trim the beginning and ends of that, and I just publish it as is. It is just raw.
Tell us about that introduction, what you learned, what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I would just start my episode and just be, for example, hi, everyone. And I would just go right into it. I just roll into it. And then you gave me a great pointer. And I appreciate that. You said, if somebody's just listening for the first time, they don't know who you're talking to. Like, you're just assuming they know you. And you're right. I was talking to the audience who's already listening. I wasn't thinking about who might be brand new and is this podcast for them. So now I'm doing my introduction like, hey, it's another episode of the Peak Signing Agents podcast where I'm helping you become the best notary signing agent you can be. And now that's my introduction so that they know, oh, this is my target now. This is who I'm talking to now. It's not just random to everyone in the world because they might not gain value from that. So that was very helpful to me.
That's cool. All right. Appreciate that. And it also seems like it makes it easier on you when you don't have to do any editing or anything like that. So,
right. Yeah. Cause I just trimmed the first 5 seconds of me pushing the button and the last 5 seconds of me pushing the stop button. I just trimmed that part up and I just hit upload.
Do you make mistakes? And what happens if you make mistakes in the middle?
I do. And I just leave it. I want to be organic. I want to be raw. I want to be, it's just me. If I say something wrong, I say something wrong. And I might sometimes start the episode, hey, real quick, I mentioned this, but I really meant this. I might say there, I might put in the notes, but I just want people to see me as me And if I make mistakes, I want to show them, hey, it's okay to make mistakes, because in our line of work, we do make mistakes, and that's okay, as long as we correct it.
And what would you say is your best advice for a podcaster listening right now?
I think it's maybe what I was touching on earlier. Just go and do it. If you're thinking about it, there's a reason you're thinking about it. And if you're thinking about it, just do it. Just understand this. Again, like I said, you're not going to be good in the beginning. You're just not. Just accept the fact you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be good. And when you hear yourself, it's not going to sound good, but it's an evolution. It's a continuous evolution. Maybe, Adam, you can agree, your first episodes compared to your latest episodes are probably a lot different.
I do agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you just accept the fact, no matter how much you prepare, it's going to keep evolving anyway. And you're going to keep getting better. That's the thing. You just get better at this. You learn things. And my other tip would be to listen to yourself. I know a lot of podcasters don't listen to it. And it's like, no, you need to listen to it. You need to hear how you're talking. You need to know, like, for example, me, I know it's just a thing in my life where I just talk fast. And I've just learned, if I learn to pronunciate, I slow down then people understand me. So I'm not talking so fast through my episodes.
Cool. I like that. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. And to the listener, all of Derek's information, like I said before, and the links to connect with him are down in the show notes. His bio is there as well. So that's where you can go to connect with him and check out his podcast, which is called Peak Signing Agents, which will help you if you want to be a notary or be a better notary or make less mistakes as a notary.
Right.
That's where you would go. And I'll see you guys on the next episode. Looking forward to it.
Bye. Thanks.
You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this, and I feel horrible, because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first 6 episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.